We on? Now then, Ray Winston here. The real one. Close enough. Doing a new podcast with me mate Tony. Soprano, that is.
Oh, how you doing?
Talking all the big stuff. Birds, scraps, films.
And of course, men's mental health. With studio guests such as arch feminist and top broad Deborah Francis White and disgraced scumbag comedian Dapper Laughs.
Something for everyone. We're trying to be better men, ain't we, Tone?
That's right. We're bad boys done good.
Available on YouTube and to download on all good audio platforms. Go on, get off your hands, you dopey c***.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to another edition of your favourite podcast, Insane in the Membrane.
Insane in the Membrane.
Greetings, one and all. I hope everybody's well. Hope you're doing great. It's a funny old time still, but we're doing our best. We're doing our best with what we've got. We are the podcast is out a little bit late this week. We do apologise. Just logistics, because now our things are opening back up. I'm gigging again, and Juice Paul's got work, and we're making it work. We're doing our best, but we apologise for the delay. But here we are. We have it. We're ready to go, and I'm currently in Manchester, and I was at the Frog and Bucket last night, and I have to say, what a gig! I've never done the Frog and Bucket before, and it was fantastic. What a night! The guys that run the place are fantastic. The audience were on a next level. All the acts that were on were brilliant. I was on with Dan Nightingale, who does the Have a Word podcast. If you've not listened to that, go and have a listen. That's absolutely brilliant. I was on with two newish guys, Carl Porter and Ben Silver. And they were brilliant too. And then the masterful Rob Rouse, who told me, he was the first person that told me to do comedy. So it was good to be on with him. What a night we had. And now I'm at my mate Geordie's and Jackie's, and we're just having a nice time. Anyway, we're recording this. I'm stood next to a chest of drawers, and we're recording this via clean feed with producer Paul down in the studio there in Tunbridge Wells. Anyway, we're here. Before we get on with the episode, just a couple of things. This podcast is being supported by those wonderful lads at Save Our Souls Clothing, Stacey and Mark. Good lads doing good things. They're our sponsors. They're doing brilliant stuff. They take care of our merch. We've got tees and hoodies. We've been sailing them in around down the front in gold. Now, don't let that put you off. Go and wear your bright colours. Honestly, it will change your life. You know, we're all a bit scared to wear bright things. I know I was for years. But now I'm like, I'm all about the bright colours. And I'll tell you what, you do feel better. So go to their website, sosclothing.co.uk/membrane, and use the 15% discount code membrane. That's one word. But that one, it's not only discount for our merch, that gives you 15% off across the store. They've got some incredible things going on. They've got some brilliant designs, brilliant t-shirts. It's ethically sourced. It's vegan friendly. These boys know their shit. I'll tell you what, it's absolutely brilliant. And they also take care of our merch for the Tuned Up Time Machine, the radio show that we do on Islington Radio. We've got new t-shirts on there for that. So go and have a look. Honestly, they're doing some good stuff. So go to the website, sosclothing.co.uk/membrane. Use the code membrane, that's one word, membrane, and you get 15% off, not just our merch, but across the store. What is not to love? Go and do that. It's going to be great. Yeah, what else have we got? We've got the radio show on Insta Radio. That's out now. That's still pumping along. So if you go to the Mixcloud app, download the app. Honestly, it's free. And we do it on Insta Radio. And Insta Radio got some incredible other shows on there as well. So good. And we get to just be ourselves. We just cut loose. I get to choose all the music. Producer Paul and I and Vic Slayton. We get some back and forth. And Big Knobs is there. It's a really good show. I think you'll enjoy it. There's a few swears, so be careful. Don't listen to it around the kids. But it's a good show. Go and have a listen. Speaking of good shows, there's this one. Insane in the Membrane. Oh, I love this show. I love doing Insane in the Membrane. I get to talk to some incredibly brilliant people. We're a couple of years in now. We were looking back at it the other day. There are so many episodes now with some brilliant people. You know, James Acaster, Romesh Ranganathan, Jenny Ryan, Scroobius Pip, Nicholas Pinnock, Dane Baptiste. That's just hundreds. To go back and have a listen, if you're new to this podcast, go back and have a listen, because I'm telling you now, you're going to love it. You know, it is about mental health. Mental health is the jumping off point. But it's more like a conversation between two mates sat in a pub having a chat. That's what it's supposed to be like. Because I know the conversation of mental health can be a bit tricky. People feel a bit, you know, they get a bit embarrassed or they don't really know how to broach the subject. But if you just sit and have a chat with your mates, that's all part of, you know, taking care of your mental health. And that's what this podcast is. It's just a couple of people having a chat. And it goes all over the place. But it's all about having conversations with people. That will help you with your mental health. Connecting with people, having a chat about weird and wonderful stuff. And with that in mind, this week's guest, I am over the moon. I'm over the moon that he came on. Eggsy, also known as John Rutledge. Eggsy from Goldie Looking Chain is this week's guest. Oh, it was such a joy. I'm such a fan of that band. They're so great. It was really cool to have him on. Because he's got, not only he's got the band, because the band are back out on tour, which is fantastic news. Eggsy's a busy man. He's got a couple of podcasts. He's got The Demon Seed, which is with Mike Bubbins. Mike Bubbins, brilliant bloke. And Meet the Street, a spoofed Neighbourhood Watch podcast, which is really good. He's on tour with GLC, so you can get tickets for that. And he's got a Radio Wales documentary called Mushrooms Can Save the World. Can Mushrooms Save the World? On BBC Sounds, which touches on the mental health properties of mushrooms. And you'll hear more about that in the episode, because we talked about that. We talked about where do mushrooms come from? Because I was talking to Heston, I know name dropping Clang, but when he was on, or I've spoken to him, and he was talking about water, saying that water isn't of this earth, it's from elsewhere. And the same with mushrooms. And it was a really good chat with Eggsy. We talked about that. We talked about growing up in a small town, and what you do, like how you figure your way out. It's a really great chat, actually. And so I'm going to stop telling you that it's a really great chat, and I'm going to let you go and have a listen to it. So coming up in a minute is Eggsy.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
A podcast from producer paul.co.uk.
Insane in the Membrane.
John, thanks, mate. I apologise. Do you go by John or Eggsy?
Anyone's fine. Absolutely anyone. Reggie, also known to some people as Reggie or Reg. Just anything, as long as it's loud enough to get my attention when you call it, I will reply.
Excellent. I love a decent nickname. There aren't enough, there's not enough of them around anymore.
No, there's a bloke in a pub in Newport. Maybe I shouldn't say this, but I've got to. He's a nice enough guy, but he has some very strong views, and he's affectionately known as Racist Carl, which is one of my favourite nicknames.
Racist does exactly Carl. What it says on the tin.
Yeah, there's also John the Lock, who's a locksmith. He's great. Was there a Mad Tony? There wasn't a Mad Tony. No, Mad Tony is just a sort of name given to anyone you don't know who potentially could be mad, yeah, or called Tony.
Yeah, there used to be, when I used to work at a t-shirt shop, there used to be two Mickeys. So one was Mickey Ginge and the other one was Mickey Afro.
Good, good. There was another bloke in the pub known as Nicky No Nose, which is very mafia, that. I think that's a good one.
Yeah.
He's got a good fellas vibe.
It's important.
I got to get the tissue paper, the tissue paper. Nicky fucking No Nose.
I love all that. I love it. There's a certain, it's like they've accepted you when they give you a nickname.
Yeah.
They've gone, yeah.
He's all right. He's one of us. He's one of us. Even if it's a nickname you hate. Yeah. All right, bastard. Oh, here we go. They're calling me bastard again. But it is
When I was at school, my nickname was Eric because a tale got told that I got an erection in gym and I didn't. I went to an all-boys school, so that was it for five. Even now, I've seen people from school, and they go, "All right, Eric, how's it going?"
That's good. That is good. you can't. I got. I don't follow sport, but are you familiar with John Relish?
No.
I believe John Relish was a footballer.
Okay.
I think I could be completely wrong, but my surname is Rutledge, and there was one kid in my school who called me John Relish for about 5 years, and I just thought he called me John Relish because he didn't know what my name was. I found out later it was something to do with football. It just goes on. It's great. It is great.
It's great. I love it. It's funny you mentioned not following sport, because I don't follow any kind of sport. It never interested me, and it did cause a few problems growing up because people don't really know what to do with you.
No, taxis. They're the. You get a taxi.
Yeah.
All right. Can you take me to wherever? Yeah. Did you see the football last night? No. What team do you support? I don't really support any. Then they'll talk about Zinedine Zidane or something for three quarters of an hour, or the transfer window, or something to do with something being offside. And you just end up going, "Yeah, mate, strong game though. Very strong game." Just say that a lot. And as long as you say that, they're completely oblivious to whether you like it or not.
I say this in my set. I talk about the fact that when I was asked these questions, I'd always say, "Oh, Palace, mate," just to keep them quiet.
One of my favorites.
I've shortened it from, go on.
Well, Hearts of Midlothian, because nobody will support Hearts of Midlothian. So, big fan of Hearts of Midlothian, mate. Big fan.
They're
going up in the cup this year. That's another thing to say. they're definitely going up in the cup this year. You know, I don't know what cup
if
it
you
is.
Shorten it. Could be anything. Go to buy some cups. I don't know. If you shorten it to Hearts, because I shorten it from Crystal Palace to Palace, it makes you sound like you actually know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And it throws them off.
Exactly. And refer to the team as us. Oh, we are doing really well. the guys, all the lads. When we have that big bath at the end of the match, we always have a right laugh, me and all the guys. And then I rinse out all the shorts, give them back to them. And I can't wait to stand on the side of the pitch next week clapping, you know.
It's mad, isn't it, that we feel we have to go along with it and not sort of placate people, because it's easier than saying, "I don't follow football."
It's funny because I think that everybody needs, you know, people, it's nature to be tribal, you know, and people have things that they get into. But I found all the things that most people are into end up just being a big blokes club. And it's just, it's like, "Oh, for fuck's sake, here we go again." Do you know what I mean? And it's like, I got into, you know, music because it was a bit different, and things like skateboarding and stuff like that. Skateboarding was what is it? And it's quite interesting because you can do that by yourself or with other people. But then after a while, you start to realize a bit of that is a bit of a sausage party as well. And that's just a load of blokes, basically rugby boys with skateboards. Not all of them. It is a bit different to rugby, obviously. But you find sometimes these groups, these sort of subcultures just get a bit too a bit too blokey sometimes, and you're like, well, that's, I'm not so much into that. I'd rather be into something that, that's why I'm into weird stuff, I think, because weird stuff tends to be a bit more individual. I don't get me wrong, I love mixing with people and socializing and stuff, but the stuff on the fringes has always been really what's fascinated me, you know. I'm weird,
same.
I suppose.
Absolutely the same.
Yeah.
Well, that was, do you know what? This is the thing. I always thought I was weird because nobody else seemed to be in the same things I was into.
Yeah.
But when you really break it down, when you actually have a, like, if you come away from the group and you start talking to these people individually,
yeah,
you start finding out about them. They go, oh, actually, yeah, I'm into opera.
Yeah.
Or I'm into something else. You go, what?
Yeah.
You, what are you talking about? You're a builder and you drive a van. And
yeah,
he goes, yeah, but I really love, you know, the opera. And you're like, fucking hell.
Yeah. I like that.
It's to be, you know, these conversations are what we need to be encouraging.
Definitely. I think it's cool when you find out something about someone. I mean, you know, it's nature to sort of stereotype people as soon as you see them without even realizing it. So, oh, that bloke is an accountant. He's obviously going to be boring, you know, whatever. But, you know, you start talking to someone and yeah, you find out some amazing stuff. That's the random conversation factor is one of the joys of life, isn't it? You know, just randomly chatting to someone and finding out something really weird about them. And then it's always great when you never see them again and you just hold that conversation in somewhere in your memory banks.
Yes.
I wonder what happened to that bloke who was into skydiving with a banana stuck up his bum. Or, you know, whatever it is. Yeah, you know,
I hope he's happy.
Yeah, that's it. He sounded like he was having a good time. I hope he hasn't ruptured anything and I hope he's still out there with his hang glider to this day, you know.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, I was talking to someone the other day and they went, we were in a pub before the gig. I ended up talking to a couple of fellas. Their food looked really nice. I was, oh, that looks amazing. What is that? And then I was talking to somebody else about something, about he had some really cool trainers on.
Yeah.
And then I sat down with my mate and she went, you talk to everybody, don't you? I'm like, sometimes, yeah, but I'm just interested in people.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, totally. I get that sometimes. You just automatically, so not all the time, you don't want to talk to everyone. And sometimes it's a bit weird if you've done something where you have a bit of a profile because you've done something like being in a band or something. Sometimes you get people who think they know you coming, all right, you bastard. And it's like, I'm just out with my missus shopping. Do I know you? And that's the other end of the spectrum. It's like, I don't really know what to do now, you know, so... That's weird.
Yeah.
But overall, it's
it is great. Weird because we do feel that we know you.
Yeah.
We feel, you know, it's a weird thing. I said hello to Jonathan Ross. I've never met him before in my life.
No, it's really weird, isn't it? And I think when you're someone like Jonathan Ross, when you're just everywhere all the time, I would do my head in. I just put a bag over my head in the end, you know, I'd just be like, oh God. But then again, you know, it balances up, doesn't it? You know, He's got it going on. He's got plenty of work going on. Sure, he's got a nice house with some form of swimming pool. So, you know,
it's the this is thing. It. Yeah. But this is, but the thing is, when I said I was going to be talking to Eggsy today, everybody loves Goldie Looking Shane. Everybody.
It's nuts.
And it's beautiful.
It's really strange because it's nearly 20 years since it all went what I call official when we got signed to a record label. We would,
what?
I think it's like,
fuck.
Yeah, it's insane. I think it's 17 years since the all that stuff that went in the charts. But we were doing it before that, just in a bedroom, drinking Buckfast and getting battered and just literally recording it and then just sitting there going, let's listen to it again now. That's stupid, isn't it? Yeah, you know. But it's like we're back. I'm going out to do a gig today. We've got gigs on at the moment. And there seems to be, like, quite a fondness there for basically some men who are now middle-aged swearing in time to music, you know, which that's cool, you know.
But this is it. But there's comedy, but it was so well, the music was so well done.
I think
that's what sets it apart.
We speak about that quite a lot. I think if you sometimes see, it's basically a novelty act, right? I won't deny that, right? But we love hip hop, and we all came from that thing of going, right, we love hip hop. We can't do hip hop the way you would have done hip hop in New York in the late 70s, you know, through to the 80s. But we all grew up listening to that and absolutely fucking loving it. And then Reese, who produces all the beats and stuff, he was just hooking up stuff for ages before we'd even recorded anything. And then I was sort of sat there with him you were just getting about doing what you do when you're, you know, 19, 20 or whatever. And I start saying stupid stuff over the top. And he's like, you fucking ruined it now because you keep saying this stupid stuff over the top. And then one day we got this shit microphone. So let's just say it over the top anyway. And it was like that, we've just created hip hop of our own form by pure accident without wanting to go, let's manufacture this thing where we get six or seven blokes and we get a beat and then try and swear in time to the music. It was more organic than that. And I think if you tried to make it with Simon Cowell, you wouldn't have the humor or the knowledge of the music and the beats, you know, and that to throw into it. Because quite often people come to gigs and they're like, oh, I really like that sample you lifted from, I don't know, the Amen Break or whatever, you know, and I recognize that you lifted from that tune from 1989 on, you know. And
yeah, yeah.
That's one of the joys of it is the hip hop element is brilliant. I don't know how people in what I call the real hip hop community take it. I don't care whether they love it or not, but it's about having a good time because other people come to the gigs and they just have a good time. And they don't care about the samples or the you know, and that's what's nice about it. I think it's fun. It's a party and you know, there's not much room. A lot of live music and bands are quite a bit pompous, I think, when they go on stage, especially if they've been doing it for a while and they're of a certain level, you know, whereas we're just like, fuck it, we got to do another gig. Right. Who remembers what words? Right. We'll do this song. let's have a couple of cans. Right. Let's go and see if we can get it right. And if it goes wrong, we'll just carry on going. And it's fun.
Yeah. So, well, that's it. You keep the hip hop heads happy, and you keep people, and you keep, you know, it's a very broad spectrum of people that are into you.
Yeah.
You know, you've got the people that recognize that proper hip hop fans that recognize what you're doing.
Yeah.
On that level. And then, like you say, you've got the people on top that just go, oh, it's so fun, and they make me smile. This is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is because they're, like you say, there's far too many bands and far too many musicians that are just a bit up themselves. You're like, mate,
I hate that.
Just chill out, mate.
When you spend money on a gig, I remember quite when that first Strokes album came out, and I really liked that album, and got the chance to go and see him, and I was like, this is going to be good. And clearly, they'd been touring it hard, and they'd been all over the place, and they were battered, and you know, also they had that New York cool thing going on, but there was nothing. There was not, it was literally get on stage, do the songs and get off again. It was like, at least tell one shit joke or just say something like, you know, who's having a good time or do something because people are paying for it. So, you know, just try and have a good time. It's really weird how any of that showbiz stuff, whatever you do with it, whether you do TV stuff or music or whatever, or even art. Anything like that, once people get a profile or start making a bit of money, a lot of them go inside their own asses and they're like, I'm better than anyone else around here, so fuck them.
Yeah.
I'm the center of attention, look at me. And it's not good for you, is it? Because you just become a massive dickhead. Saying that, if you offered me 15 million now to be a complete arsehole, I'd take the money and tell everyone to fuck off right off. No doubt about it.
I would. I'd be an arsehole for a year, and then you'd never see me again.
Oh, just fuck class. Off. Yeah, class. But it's funny when people get a bit arsey about stuff. Like, what are you even doing? Everybody else is just getting on with their life, and music, film, and TV and stuff like that is everybody needs it in their life. But it's just a diversion from what everyone else is getting on with. And the people making it who've got their heads up their asses, like, no, this is what people, when you hear people talking about my new album is all about, you know, how I've spent lockdown alone. And essentially it made me realize that being in a room by yourself, I should record an album to let people know that I was in a room by myself. Everybody else was, mate. You know what I mean? Don't get so over the top about it that you're the center of attention here. You know, it's fucking crazy. Crazy.
And where did you grow up, you guys? Because this is what I find fascinating. You find like you guys were into hip hop and into this, and like, there's always people in like small towns and things like that there's not a lot going on, so they sort of like make their own entertainment. Was that the same sort of thing with you?
Yeah, totally. And you definitely find that out from other people, that it's the same thing. And you hear it a lot with bands that are coming up, you know. In some ways, it's the best place to be because I think if you're in a super big city where there's always like a scene and it's always basically people with rich parents who've given them a shitload of money to go and do something and they're the ones who end up becoming the next big thing or whatever. Yeah, I mean, I'm generalizing, but you know what I mean? Whereas
yeah.
If you live somewhere on the edge, it gives you a completely different dynamic. And I think it's a lot more colourful. I always, because we're all from Newport, which is, you know, as soon as you hit the Severn Bridge, you come over and we're in there. And I always associated it, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but I always associated Newport with a shit version of New York, because it's like this tiny little place. We've got like almost got Brooklyn Bridge, but it's the transporter bridge. Do you know what I mean? We had CBGBs, but that was TJ's, which was where all the live bands went off. It had a really grimy element to it. It still does, you know, and there was danger on the streets, but it was really colorful, you know, and it sort of molds you. And because you can't get out to go and see all this stuff that's going on in the big cities, you know, you really, really get into the stuff you can get your hands on, you know. So getting any sort of mixtape or any music or any videos, you know, they'd circulate around in these little groups of people, and you'd get these little cults of you, like, oh, yeah, have you got this? I've got that. Yeah, I'll check this out, you know. And then that mixed with a certain element of boredom, I think, pushes you to sort of be creative, you know, because there's only so much you can drink in the local pub before you're just like, I've had enough of this, you know. Whereas if you've got a place where you can all hang out and just start dicking around, you if you've got a bit of technology, which everyone pretty much can get nowadays, you can start just making stuff that's mental. Although funnily enough, now people tend to be making stuff. There's this weird sort of thing where, like, I've got a phone and I've got TikTok, so I'll make stuff that's like everyone else's stuff, where I mime to a dance in front of a Pizza Hut or whatever. I don't get that. But when you're stuck and a bit bored, it's like doodling, isn't it? If you've got a pen in your hand and there's nothing else going on, you'll draw a picture of a dick with three dips coming out and laugh at it. You know, whereas you've got a tape recorder and a couple of beats going on, you start recording yourself doing a stupid voice and you make something. And you none of us really thought, right, we'll set out to make this, and what we'll do is we'll do it and then we'll put it out and everyone will listen to it and we'll do gigs. We were just doing it because it was like, that's brilliant. That's an old James Brown sample. And then we've just said a load of really stupid stuff over the top. That's fucking stupid. Brilliant. And you'd enjoy it, which is great. You know?
Yeah. I always found that, I didn't realize it until later on, that I use music. Music was like a window into another world. It was like, it glamorized all these other places. Like, I grew up in sort of Southeast London, Kent.
Right.
So it was this small town and there wasn't anything going on. London was this incredible, like, this, you know, it all goes on in London.
Yeah.
And then you'd hear about, you know, Manchester and all these other places through the music you were listening to, or you like Detroit.
Yeah.
And New York and all these incredible places. And totally. I wouldn't have, and that's, I was so into my music. And I think that's what, and I've said this a few times, I think this is why racists and homophobic people, I think it's why they are the way they are, because they have shit tasting music.
It's true. It's true. And it's really interesting, like, when you introducing that, what do you listen to? This is fucking weird. And you give it to someone and they're like, fuck, you listen to all that weird music, don't you? What sort of music are you into anyway?
Yes.
And I can never answer that question because I'm into music. The primarily, just give me a big load of breakbeats and some weird squelchy acid sounds and I'm happy, you know. But there's a million other things outside of that that you can listen to. And sometimes when people are like, you like all that weird music, you fucking weirdo. But then you give them the weird music, and you literally see it happening after a couple of weeks of them listening to it. They're like, it's all right, that, actually, isn't it? And it's another way of just opening your eyes up to something else. It's another experience, isn't it? You know, another thing. You know, that alongside having a chat with a random stranger, you know, two things that are great and they're completely free. Brilliant. Yeah.
Well, this is why whenever I see anybody, because you can, like Forrest Gump was right, you can tell a lot about a person by their shoes.
Yeah.
And every time I see someone with some decent trainers and I'm like, mate, they're fucking wicked. Where'd you get them?
Yeah.
And then the conversation starts and then you kind of, it's like you're finding your people, aren't you? You're like,
I
see you.
Yeah. And that's quite cool. You know, I think the other end of the spectrum is it can get a bit cliquey where people are really weird about all that stuff. And I hate that, you know, when they're all a bit like, you know, I'm too cool for you. Oh, mate, where'd you get those trainers? Yeah, I just got them, so nothing to do with you. And then they just sort of look off and walk off. It's like, yeah, all right, you're bellend.
Yeah.
You know, but sometimes people do that. You know, I think sometimes people do that because they're a bit insecure and they act like peacocks. You know, they're all like, yeah, look at me, I look amazing, but don't talk to me. And I think a lot of those people sometimes are a bit like, oh, fucking hell, I'm a bit too scared to talk to someone, so I'll just act like a bellend in front of them. You can't always blame someone for being
a bellend. Yes.
It's
an insecurity. You're right. And like you said earlier, those, when it becomes, these things that start cool, when you see someone and you go, oh, mate, you're cool. You look really great. And then he's like, oh, I like what you're wearing. And you kind of have a chit chat. And then, you know, oh, you got your headphones. What are you listening to? What, you know, and you have that sort of conversation. But then, like you say, when they gather and they become, it then becomes another sausage fest.
Yeah. That's it. And it's like, all a bit weird. But I think, you know, there's always something new to be experienced, and that's cool. And it's life, isn't it? Nothing is ever going to be perfect. You've just got to keep rolling and you know, get the good stuff while you can and avoid the shit. You know, that's the key.
Well, this is it. When I was 18, 19, we discovered sort of cannabis resin. Oh. That's when the music changed.
It goes to another level. Yeah.
Yeah, and then acid turned up, and I remember because everyone was putting on Pink Floyd, and I'm like, I'm not really digging this, I'm not really feeling it. And then my mate gave me Syd Barrett's first solo album,
right?
And I went, that's what I'm after. I like that. It was a bit weird, and it was a bit out there. I found Pink Floyd a bit stodgy for me, but that was it. Once the drugs and the music kicked in, bosh, it was gone.
It's funny because like in Newport, there was this. There's a real sort of heritage of like that whole going, you know, back to the early 80s. When I was a little bit too young to be involved, but there were a lot of football violence. You had what was Newport County's crew called the Youth Firm, right? And you had all this. And you know, that whole story of people were beating each other up until they discovered ecstasy and then they all started hugging each other, you know?
Yeah.
And Newport had a real edge to it. But if you know what you're doing, you're not going to get your head kicked in because you're not going out looking for it or whatever. But then you clearly saw, people were just selling acid like literally everywhere. And it was like, you'd go out and, do you want to buy some acid, mate? It's like, no, I'm 16 and I'm scared I'm going to die if I touch it. So you're all right. Do you want to buy some acid, mate? No, I just walked past that other bloke and he offered me some acid. And I didn't want it then. do you want some acid? No, because those other two blokes who offered me acid who used to kick people in have just offered. I don't want any thanks, but thanks, you know. And it was really funny seeing that transition. But that actually kept me quite... I've never really gotten into drugs. I've smoked some ganja weed, but anything else I've never really gotten into. And I don't have a problem with other people doing it. I think go for it, you know, get smashed and enjoy yourself, but just know what you're doing. Because if you go wrong, you could be in a shit street. I think there's a bit of a romanticized element to that drug scene now. People were all hugging each other and you know, uniting. There still was clearly an underworld there and people were getting their heads battered. And Newport, you could see there was a bit of dodginess going on there. There were some really crazy murders and stuff that happened in the sort of early mid 90s that were all related to that. And again, that kind of put me off getting involved. And also I was always terrified of losing my mind if I ever really delved into the world of anything made in a lab. You know, it was like,
This is it. I've indulged in stuff, but weirdly I've always managed to, even when I've been off, really off my head, I've managed to keep sort of one hand on the ground. I've never really let go.
Yeah.
I was always like, no, I've done. Okay. Yeah. No, I'm having a great time, but I don't need any more. I'm good.
Which is, it's interesting. There's that thing, which you could see it when you drink. Like I like to drink. But I'm not a massive drinker because I can't drink. I'll have three cans, start talking about farts, then laughing to myself, and then just have to go home and eat some chips. Like I just don't have the tolerance to keep drinking a lot. But other people have one can and you can see it. They're like, I'm going for it now and nothing. And they'll just keep going and going and getting battered, you know, and you put that, you throw in some chemicals or something into that mix. And I've seen it over the years. People who just perfectly normal when they're sober get absolutely hammered when they go for it. And I've seen quite a few people damage themselves, you know, and it's crazy. But again, there's maybe a bit more education about these things now, but growing up, it was like, what people would just say, don't do that. It's bad for you. But why? What is it? How does it work? What? I don't know. I have no idea. And I think you look at countries like Portugal and all these countries that have decriminalized a lot of drugs. They're sort of, the drug issues are a lot less than they are over here, you know. And boredom is a big thing, you know. This country.
Oh God,
you know, that's the thing. It's easy just to sit. And so many people who lead completely normal lives are going home and just sitting in front of the TV and doing cocaine all weekend, not even going out raving, you know, and then going back to work on a Monday. Because there's just something missing where they're like, what else is going to fulfill me, you know?
Yeah. Well, this is it. You're so ground down with everything else that's going on.
Yeah.
You know, there's the government aren't even taking care of the people anymore.
No.
They're just taking away. And people are just, it's like everyone's sort of going, look, I'm doing my best. I'm trying to live this life as a decent citizen, this version that we're all supposed to adhere to.
Yeah.
I'm trying my best, but you keep fucking me over.
Yeah.
I'm working all the hours God sends. I'm never at home. I never see my kids or my wife or my husband or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's you're driving. I don't know what to do. So they go, fuck it. I know when I do cocaine, it changes. It makes me feel better. So I'm going to do that.
Yeah. That's it. You know, but, you know, it's a really tricky one, isn't it? Because you can't just sort of fix it overnight by flicking a switch. I saw this really interesting thing about, again, my scientific knowledge of anything is completely limited, and anything I've ever read, I will balls it up and quote the wrong thing. But more or less, right, I saw this article about how they gauge the addictiveness of drugs. I can't even say the word addictiveness. Yeah. Addictiveness of drugs. And one of the tests they used to do was put a rat in a cage with a bottle of water that was laced with cocaine. And this rat obviously would start drinking this bottle of water, realize it did something to him, and just kept going back to it at an incredible rate and becoming incredibly strung out on it. And for years, I believe that was the sort of benchmark for showing how addictive cocaine is. Until relatively recently, someone did a similar experiment where they put a rat in a cage, but they gave it things like a little play wheel. They gave it an environment to explore. They gave it other things to do. And when it had that, it didn't touch the cocaine as much. It still did it, but it wasn't just there going, I'm stuck in a cage, I'll go and do that. I'm stuck in a cage, I'll go and do that. You know, it was almost using it like, oh, I've been busy on the wheel today, and then I had to go around the maze. That was great. Oh, it's Saturday night, or maybe I'll just have a quick go on that, and then I'll get back on the wheel on Monday. You know, so it shows if you haven't got something in your life to give you purpose, then you're just going to switch off. But I don't suggest anyone buys a hamster or a rat or a gerbil and gives it drugs. Don't do that.
I think that's in the lockdown, that's what happened. Everything was taken away, choices were taken away. And I think that's why a lot of people's mental health was affected.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't just like, oh, time off work. It's like, oh, fuck, I can't go and see anyone.
Yeah.
I can't do anything.
Yeah. And then that's the thing, you know, I was here with my missus and we were talking about it the other day. If you're just in a place by yourself, that's really hard. And it sounds ideal. Yeah. Oh, I'll have the place to myself. Brilliant. But when it goes on for 18 months, that's not good for anyone, you know, and I know a lot of people that were affected by that. When I say a lot of people, I don't know like 600 people, but I know a few people who were definitely affected by that. And it's really hard because they can't do anything about it. And you couldn't go, oh, I can come around tonight and we can have a pizza and watch, I don't know, Star Wars on DVD. You couldn't even do that, you know. So crazy. It's absolutely crazy. It's a shame, but what else could we do? You know, I think old Boris Johnson waited till it was far too late. And I'm kind of sick of this conversation because it comes up all the time, but he waited till it was far too late. He balls it up for everyone. And then it was, you know, maybe if we'd acted earlier, it might have been better. I don't know. I think now we're going into that world.
Yeah.
People are starting to split up over decisions and arguments and fights are happening over what is, oh, it's all a load of bollocks. This thing won't infect you in it. It's like a cold. It's like, no, mate, maybe you should get something, you know, like this vaccine. And everything's going to shit. It's going to hell in a handcart.
Well, it's funny. People won't take the vaccine, and I'm not. It's their choice. Fine. Look, I'm not getting into that. I've been vaccinated.
Yeah.
My opinion is I think people should be vaccinated, but that's my opinion. That's completely. That's my choice. Your choices are your choices. But
totally. Yeah.
People are. You know, they seem to be because everyone's kind of. Because we're all struggling because we were never told that life is hard. Life is actually hard. And we were never told that growing up.
No.
So now people are trying to find, like it's like they almost want sort of, you know, medication. They want to go, they want to be on antidepressants. And they're like, oh, that will help me out. It's like, try and explore other options first. And you know, unless you're completely debilitated and there's no other option, then all right, try medication, but try something else first.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we don't live in a world where it's easy to see outside of the box of living a normal life, you know, whereas if we just had other options that were clearly marked out and we knew were there that could add to you. I mean, we've got an allotment, you know, and we go down there and do a bit. It all sounds a bit, oh, I've got an allotment, Julian. Oh, look at me. But, you know, it's like, you know, surprising things like walking. Do you know what I mean? Getting out and walking and things like that are things that are pretty integral to being alive. But we've all lost touch with that. We've all just ended up watching Sky TV, ordering a fucking Domino's pizza, and that's it, you know. Yeah. But to realize it's all, as we said earlier, a random conversation with someone on the street or exchanging a bit of culture in any format, a bit of music, film, TV, or going out and walking around some woods somewhere or growing some frigging tomato plants. It does give you this sort of sense of, I did that. That's really cool. I feel like I've achieved something there. And to a lot of people, like, what are you fucking doing that for? I can get tomatoes in a tin from the shop. You can, and it's not necessarily about the tomato itself, but it's just
the act of the fact that you went and did it.
Yeah. You know, that's really cool. Anything like that. I think anything on a creative level, I think people talk about being creative. It's not about making a film or, you know, recording the next brilliant album, whatever. That is part of it, but also the element of being creative is just existing in the world. And was it Alan Moore, the writer, the comic book writer? He describes, he's got this description of magic. And again, I'll get it all wrong and completely fuck it up, but I'm sure if you go on Google, you can see his explanation more clearly. But, you know, magic is the idea of something that doesn't exist until that thought enters your mind, and then your mind creates that thing. And before your mind did that, it didn't exist. That thing wasn't there. That is magic. Yeah. You know, that is fantastic. Yeah. Obviously, Alan Moore said it in a much better way than I've just... It's not Paul Daniels pulling a rabbit out of a hat. There's a lot more to it than that. Yeah. Although, you know, I must say, just during lockdown, obviously, there was an opportunity to sit and watch YouTube. And I managed to find a Paul Daniels Halloween special. This is completely off track now, but a Paul Daniels Halloween special from the 80s where Paul Daniels, it was fantastic. Live on air, he's in this sort of sarcophagus with spikes in, like an Iron Maiden, those old, you know, medieval torture instruments. And he's in it. He's going to escape before the timer runs out and it closes shut and kills him. But what was great about this special, that to really freak everybody out on Halloween, the episode ends with Paul Daniels in front of a live studio audience. The door slams shut and Paul Daniels is dead. And the screen fades to black.
No.
And he just says, ladies and gentlemen, please leave the auditorium in an orderly fashion. And everyone in Britain was like, fuck me, Paul Daniels has just killed himself on TV. He hadn't, but it was one of the best shit things I've ever seen in my life. Check it, go on YouTube, it's brilliant.
Absolutely. I'll have a look. I love shit like that.
Yeah.
This is the thing. There's so many great things at our fingertips now. You know, we've had some trouble logging on today doing this, but like what I like to do is that I'll charge my headphones up and I'll just go for a walk and I'll go, oh, there's that album I've never listened to. Because, you know, you've got all of the albums are right there in front of you.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, I'm gonna explore that today. I'm going to listen to, I don't know, Pet Sounds or...
Yeah,
something else by somebody, some Joan Baez or whatever it is, and just I'm going to listen to that all day and find out about it, and that's what I like to do.
I still love making mixtapes, because you know back in the day it was a tape cassette and a double tape deck, you know, and you could sort of pause the track you like, chuck the new one on. That's something that I still like doing now. Obviously, you do it digitally, you know, and you sit there on a computer and you make your mixtape. But I still really enjoy making mixtapes. They're great fun, you know. The fact you can just
I love it. Make I like putting up. Together playlists for people. Yeah,
yeah, it's great. You know, I think sometimes you get bombarded by loads and loads of stuff, and the mixtape's great because you can just pick out that stuff you've been listening to over the past, you know, 3 months, and like that track's good, that track's good, that's good. Right, I'm making a mixtape, you know, and that's
yeah.
People, do you know what? Everyone in Britain should make a mixtape once a week. That's what they should do. The answer to everyone's problem. That would be good.
We should bring it back, like making an effort with the like your best handwriting.
Yeah,
and maybe if you're that way inclined, you can do a bit of artwork on it.
Yeah, yeah,
just
definitely.
Have this,
brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And the rule is it has to be on a tape cassette. Although saying that now, you probably have to spend £900 on buying a decent tape cassette recorder because they're all vintage now. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah. Well, they can't, like, bands are coming. They're doing like exclusive, like limited runs of these, of their new albums on tapes now.
Yes. So yeah.
If you've seen that. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is kind of crazy because it'll never get listened to because no one's got a fucking tape player anymore. Either that or just spend £300 on a sort of 35-year-old car just to get a tape deck, you know, and then just sit in this car with no tires listening to music.
That's it. This old Ford Fiesta with the tape player.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God. Unbelievable.
But talking about drugs, because I was reading that thing that interview you did about mushrooms.
Yes. So I just did
and
a...
And it's more... I think that's the way forward because... With cannabis and things like that, it seems to be more organic drugs seem to be the way forward.
Totally. I mean, I found out about it. I put a commission in for a job for BBC Radio Wales with this idea that during the lockdown, I grew some oyster mushrooms from a little grow your own kit. And they're these bright pink looking, insane looking things. You could eat them. It's really weird. Figuring out how they grow is weird. They grow in the dark rather than in the light, like a plant does.
Really?
They sort of thrive off of being just damp and in this sort of little block of hay. And they're just weird. They're totally otherworldly. So I was just like, I started to look into it and started to realize that mushrooms are fucking strange. Excuse my language, you know. And I got there's a book by a guy called Sheldon Mandrake, which is a brilliant book called The Entangled Life. And it's a pretty big old chunk, but this guy is a amazing mycologist and he's just, the book is well worth a read. You get the audio book if you can't be bothered to read it, which is what I did because I'm too lazy. But so you start to realize this whole thing about the mushroom is insane because they are responsible. They're the reason we're here. I mean, I could talk about this for fucking ages and I'll get it all wrong because I'm not a scientist, but basically it starts off there was life in water without fungus that wouldn't have helped transfer these cells onto land and then help to spread the plants onto land. And then the plants, you know, blah, 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 evolution, all that happened.
Okay.
It goes on and on and on. And then you've got obviously mushrooms. They feed us. They keep the world going. It's them that have this sort of network that keeps everything alive and growing. And then you get to this, obviously, there's a lot more than that. But then you get to the point of the hallucinogenics, which everybody's like, mushrooms? Oh, yeah, tripping on LSD, man. And there was so much research done in the 50s and 60s into it when there was this sort of big boom into it. And then basically they became criminalized and everything was shut down. And they were forgotten about for a long time. So they just remained this thing that people in tie-dye T-shirts do whilst listening to Pink Floyd, you know. And then recently... Yeah. Places like Imperial College in London started to get the green light to start doing research into it. And this radio program I did, I interviewed this woman called Bruna Giribaldi, who's the clinical trial manager there.
Okay.
And what's nuts about it is this thing that if you take a load off can drive you insane, if given to you in the correct dosage, in the correct environment with the correct people around you, can help you deal with things like chronic depression is something like three times more effective than just giving someone a tablet because by all accounts, the tablets, I've read a few books. I'm quite fascinated with the human brain. Those antidepressant tablets, depending on what ones you get, they don't really know how well they're going to work for individuals. You know, some people take them and they work really well. Some people, nothing really happens. Some people, it just turns all their motor neuron sensors off and they just sort of like feel completely flat. But they were saying this whole idea of using psilocybin to, you dose someone and then you go through counseling with them whilst they're going through this sort of trip, which opens you up to being very vulnerable emotionally, lets you discover the root of what your problem is. Then you go through counseling and they're saying, so two doses of this stuff can reset people for up to a year or more without needing any other medicines afterwards. It's fascinating. And also they're applying that now to things like anorexia. They can apply it to that because there's a lot of stuff going on mentally with anorexia, you know, and that helps with that. And they're applying it to people suffering from chronic pain. Apparently it could be applied to that. People who've gone through, you know, terrible injuries or whatever, PTSD, people who've got terrible turmoil from things like that. You know, it's just, the list seems to be endless, and it seems to be, it's this thing that's there and everybody's sort of forgotten about it because they just assume it is just a thing that could potentially kill you if it's poisonous in a field or could send you on a crazy trip. But I really enjoyed making that program, which I've got to say is available on the BBC Sounds app for the next 30 days if you want to check it out.
Amazing.
Quick plug. No, it's fascinating. And on top of that, you can use mushrooms to do things like create building materials. So they will eventually be able to do things like build stuff out of them, which sounds insane. Things like oyster mushrooms can be used if you have a place that's heavily polluted, like Fukushima in Japan, or a place where there's been an oil spill. Instead of having to rip all that land out and have a gaping hole left there, if you plant oyster mushrooms there, they will... The mycelial network absorbs the shit out of the ground, the radiation, the oil spill, grows into the mushroom. Then you just cut the mushrooms out and take them away, and the land is healed again. Yeah, it's honestly, check out that book, Entangled Life by Sheldon Mandrake. It's really interesting. And the more you look at, there's another guy called Paul Stanitz, I think is his name, and he's absolutely fascinating. Once you start looking at what he does, it just goes on. And he's just a bloke who got interested in it, and he's now doing these amazing things with it. And there's a great story in a documentary that's on Netflix now. I think it's called Fantastic Fungi, which he's in. And he talks about growing up, he had this terrible stutter, couldn't face anyone, couldn't talk to anyone because it just was so, you know, just totally stopped him from being who he is. So one day he took magic mushrooms, sat in a tree during a thunderstorm, thought he was going to die, had this massive awakening, and the next day he could speak perfectly normally. And it was without realizing what he'd done, he'd rewired his neural networks in such a way. Again, I'm not saying go and take mushrooms and sit in a tree in a thunderstorm if you've got a stutter. Don't do that, because I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. But what I'm saying is, if you read about the stuff that mushrooms can do, it's genuinely interesting. And I really think that's the reason... Well, like the scientists said, that's the reason why we're here. And I think when we all go, wherever that is, if there's a giant fireball or mankind who will eventually fall apart, the fungus will continue. And that's the shit that rules the world. You know, that the fungus is the stuff that is here. And the more you read about it, the more it's just really interesting. And again, it's another thing that I didn't know anything about this, but I found something that just really gives you a bit of a buzz and a bit of a kick, and you're like, that's cool, that's another free thing that you can get out of life that isn't sitting in front of Sky TV being stuck in your box.
Yeah,
you know, just accidentally learning stuff is fantastic, you know.
And this is it. I was never very academic. I've said this a lot on here. So school never really interested me, because I didn't care about the Normans, I didn't care about all that. But
yeah,
since leaving school and learning about the things I want to learn about, I love it. I will now spend the rest of the weekend reading up on what you've just been talking about.
It's fascinating. I agree with you. Like school, I liked school, and I thought, right, you get to secondary school, I thought, brilliant, right, we can learn about dinosaurs, we can learn about all this amazing stuff. I like the way, as a 45-year-old man, I'm like, yeah, we'll learn about dinosaurs. But, you know, as a kid, I was like, well, how do we get here? What is this? All this? And you get to school and you sort of put your hand up and say, sir, when are we going to learn about this? And they go, no, you're not doing that. You've got to do this here, and you've got to do this. And all you've got to do is copy it parrot fashion. Incidentally, I'm the teacher. I've been here for 35 years and I hate all the pupils and the staff, so I'm not even going to bother to interact with you. But just do that. And then you'll do an exam at the end of it. And when you've got the exam, you'll go and do something else. And it was really flat, you know. But it's the idea of learning something is it can be great when you find something you're interested in. And that can lead to a lot of really interesting career paths if that opportunity is given to younger people who are starting out in life, or alternately older people, who, you know, who find something that completely turns their life around, you know. So,
but I mean, you're absolutely right. Absolutely. And you talked about mushrooms not being of, did you say that? Of not being of this earth.
There is a theory that they think the spores possibly came down on, in the ice of a comet, hit the planet, which was a bit, nothing which was going on, and just them hitting the ground and then spreading out these networks began the process of life as we know it now, you know. It's just, yeah, it's insane. It's absolutely insane. And then the fungus doesn't just exist in fields and in trees. There's fungus in your gut. Do you know what I mean? There's fungus on your skin. There's
Yeah.
It's like, it's everywhere. And why do we know about this stuff? It's insane. It's absolutely insane.
Yeah, they never talk about it. I've had some issues with fungal infection in my gut, which is why I'm having to, I'm now having to change my diet.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and that affects your whole well-being. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. You know, it's just like, wow. I think the word fungus puts you off. You know, fungal and fungus.
Yes,
it does. Yeah, that's interesting. You know what I mean? But yeah, it's brilliant. I learned about something yesterday. Somebody told me there's a thing called is it King Alfred's cake? It's also known as coal fungus. And I've seen it everywhere. If you go into the woods, sometimes you'll find on the side of a tree, it's like a black blob. And it's just a black, hard blob on the side of a tree. And if you touch it, it's rock solid. I've seen them. I knew they were fungus. But apparently, if you rip one off the tree, rip it in half, and then if you've got one of those sparker flints, you hit it with a spark, it'll catch fire. So you've got a fire lighter straight away in the woods. Yeah, it's insane. Fuck. So if survival experts, just dig some of them out and you can start a fire straight away. They just do all sorts of weird stuff. And it's amazing. It's just amazing.
But you know what? It's amazing. It's funny. I'm not name dropping here, but I was lucky enough to have Heston Blumenthal on a little while ago.
Okay. He looks like the kid I went to school with called Mark Crowley, but that's a completely separate story.
Yeah. I love it. Someone said to me the other day, again, they were like, it's really funny that I always use people's full names when I'm talking about them.
Yeah.
Like from school. And so you've got, Mark Crowley. It's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I can see him.
Yeah, that's it. But, just imagine Heston. Yeah, that's it.
But this is it. But Heston said, because he was going off to investigate water, and he said, water isn't from this, it's not from here.
Yeah.
Because it's like an alien life form, and like octopus as well. I find them fascinating. Because it's like, how the fuck?
It's nuts.
There's so many things we don't understand. Yeah.
And you can, it's just, oh my God, it's great, isn't it? It's really great. I love all that stuff. It's fucking brilliant. Can't get enough of it.
These are the things that you and I growing up, and we'd go, and you'd turn around to your mate, or even now you turn to your mates and go, water's not from here, you know, water's an alien thing. And they go, all right, mate.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever.
Are you all right?
I'm going to go and smoke fags around the back of the bike shed because I don't really care. You know what I mean? That was what it was all about. Nicking cigarettes from your mother and then going and comparing them around the back of the games hall and just smoking fags. That was pretty much what school was, you know.
That was it. Yeah, yeah. God. And then we rock up going, octopus, they're weird, aren't they? They've got 20 brains or whatever it is.
Yeah. I remember, again, using someone's full name. Vince Lamprey came into school once with a rat in a jam jar. Not a jam jar, a sweet jar from a sweet shop. No reason at all Vince put that rat in. But again, to him, it was probably the most fascinating thing he'd ever seen. Everyone else was like, all right, Vince, you got a rat in a sweet jar, eh?
I wonder where Vince is now.
I don't know, but I think he did claim he was a ninja, although that might have been Lee Manship, who I think claimed he was a ninja, but he could only do his ninjutsu on you if you came round to his house on a Saturday, because his license
wouldn't
allow him to perform his ninjutsu outside of the outside of his own home. And there was another kid, I think it was Ricky Maisie. It was his birthday, he was in school, and everyone said no, it wasn't, he was in school, he was acting really sad, and everyone said, what's the matter? I think it was Ricky Maisie said this. He said, my brother died in a car crash, and he had his head cut off. And everyone's like, fucking ass, that's terrible. Then on the Saturday, it was his birthday, and his brother was there, perfectly alive. I said, what happened to your brother, Ricky? Oh, they sewed his head back on, but with invisible stitches. It's like sellotape, it is. So, he's fine now. Don't worry about that. I love that shit.
But don't ask him. Don't ask him about it because he doesn't want to talk about it.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't mention it to him because he's still a bit upset about the fact that he had his head cut off by a car and then stuck back on by invisible stitches. It's a bit touchy at the moment. So,
I like the way, I love that when you kids, the shit you say, I remember that like you were just saying about that, he's got his ninja license.
Yeah. It's just brilliant. The stuff you have, Roberto Milano, I remember, said he had a BMX made of gold and silver that his dad had crafted for him. And you just go, yeah, cool. That's, I got a BMX made of pure gold and silver. That's wicked, you know. I love all
that
shit.
Make, you kind of, I love all that as well. And you kind of go, because it doesn't make sense. You're like, no. You go, why would someone lie about it?
It's what I like is the fact that anything goes. Whereas when you get older, people get a bit more restrained and they don't do that shit, even though they might think it. And I think everybody does, to tell the truth, everybody, but they all hold it in, you know. But it's great to drop some of that shit on people just in daily life. You just say something really weird. Nothing that's going to cause them any distress or anything, but just saying weird shit. I quite often find myself just saying weird shit because of the way my brain works. I think I just end up mumbling shit to myself, you know. And you quite often say stuff to people. And I've got quite a few friends who I've known for quite a long time, and I'll speak to them and they're like, so are you telling the truth now? Or is this another one of your lies? And they can't tell the difference. I can't myself half the time to tell the truth. I just say any old shit, whatever comes out.
But that's the thing. There's lies I told when I was a kid.
Yeah.
That sometimes I think I remember them and I can't remember if it was true or not. Stories that I've told.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I can't remember if they were made up or not.
Yeah. It does happen. There was, there used to be a swimming baths in Newport, Maindy swimming baths. Obviously, Maindy is a little part of town. And this happened, and it took me about 15 to 20 years to suss out whether it did happen after speaking to other people. It's a swimming bath, right? So it's full of chlorine. But in the 80s, they bought a load of dolphins to Maindy swimming baths, and they put them in Maindy swimming baths, and we all went and watched it.
What the exactly?
What the what? How does that even work? Like, everything about it is wrong on so many levels, but we clearly went to Maindy swimming baths and they put dolphins in Maindy swimming baths and we all watched them. What the what is that all about? But I think if you go on the internet, you can find some evidence to back this up. How do you put a dolphin in chlorine? How do you get a dolphin?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, how do you get a dolphin to a truck to then bring it to Newport in South Wales to put it into Maindy baths? How come nobody from the RSPCA turned up saying, I don't think you should do this? And how did a lot of school kids end up just sitting there on the side watching these dolphins do tricks, obviously against their own free will, you know?
Yes. And someone on the committee went, we're going to do this. This is going to bring people to the baths.
Yeah. What we need to do to really ramp up the numbers is get people interested in swimming. So we could either get a water slide, a load of inflatables, or just spend a weekend with 7 or 8 dolphins in the water. Yeah, sign that off. Let's do it. It's what the fuck? It just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense, you know. But that's
oh my god.
It's wrong, but it's so fascinating. I'd love to have a time machine and go back and see that again. I will try and find something on the internet to email over to you to prove that it did happen.
Please,
look for some evidence, you know.
What were you thinking when you were watching? It must have been nuts to watch.
I just remember being there. You know, when you're that young, it's just a very, this is why, because I've spoken to Billy, who's in the band, remembers it as well. He's a couple of years younger than me.
Yeah.
I just remember being there. I mean, I'd had swimming lessons in this place, you know, so I remember the place quite well. But I just remember being there, sitting in some chairs and like, yeah, they got the dolphins out now. This, oh, one's done a trick.
Like they're getting the floats out.
Yeah, it's mental. Absolutely crazy. You know. But then that I've got. I mean, again, this is totally off topic. They then built a bigger swimming pool, Newport Leisure Centre, in the centre of town. Much more elaborate. It had a wave machine. It had a gym. It had sports halls and stuff. We ended up doing gigs there actually because it became a gig venue. But that had a giant swirly water chute slide, which in the mid 80s was like being in California. This is amazing. I'm going on a proper water chute, you know. But the myth was, if you went on the water chute, kids had gone down it with razor blades and stuck them on the side with chewing gum. And if you went down it, it would cut you open and you would die. I didn't actually meet anyone who got cut open by those razor blades, you know.
That was every single flume in every single town had that story.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. But none of my mates had their legs chopped open.
Never, never, ever. There was always the kid in, there was always a story of the kid in school that leant too far back on his chair.
Yeah, yeah.
And classic. And died. And
then the other one.
And then when they were, go on.
Yeah, go on, sorry, yeah.
There was another one where they said, when we used to get the javelins out, and they go, yeah, you got to be careful, because once one of the kids poked his eye out with a javelin.
Well, the classic one, Mrs. Collins, the art teacher, giving us a stern, do not, whenever you do, when you're using a pencil, sharpen both ends of the pencil. It might look good to you, but I've had a kid in this class who did it. He was writing with it. Someone banged him on the back of the head. It went up his nose, into his brain, and killed him. Do not sharpen both ends of your pencil. And it was like, well, no one's mentioned this in assembly. When did this happen? It happened, right? So just do not sharpen both ends of your pencil, because it will go into your brain and kill you. And all right.
But the thing is, if that was going to happen, it would have gone up there anyway. It doesn't matter if it's sharp or not.
Fucking stupid. It's fucking stupid. Oh, that,
it's
I love
like
that
with
shit.
It's like, I love that shit. It's like with the javelins. It's like, oh yeah, he poked his eye out. It's like, have you seen a javelin?
Yeah.
If that goes into your eye, that's going to, your brain's going to come out the back of your head.
Oh, it's great. It's absolutely great. I love it. I love it. Yeah, I can't get enough of it. Just the stuff you'll say to kids, man, to shut them up, or just those weird rumours that spread around. You know, it's just, oh, that's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Always. Always.
There's a bloke at the end of my mate's street, and they used to call him German Joe. I think it's because he was German. Never actually saw him. But if you stood outside of his house and chanted, German Joe, German Joe, German Joe, German Joe, German Joe, German Joe, he would come out with an axe and chase you. Never happened. Never happened.
I want to be, that's how I want to spend my days. I want to be like the old bloke in Home Alone. Like, yeah, all the kids in the town have this weird story, but it turns out you're a bit of a ledge.
Yeah, that's it.
But exactly. There's all stories about you. I love that. You'll be the weird bloke who lives in a mushroom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's got these mushrooms that'll make you go into space, but they're not drugs. They're actually a spaceship made out of mushrooms that he grew himself. But you have to give him 15 quid to get in there and even have a look at it. You know. Oh, God.
Oh, love that shit.
Oh, God, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. The stuff dreams are made of. The stuff dreams are made of.
Yes. So you've got a gig tonight, did you say?
Yes, we're off to, I don't know when this will go to air, but we started gigging again. They've let us back out. We did some festivals, all got COVID, which was shit. So we had to cancel a lot of gigs. Luckily, I feel like having that, I mean, we wouldn't have done it if we weren't vaxxed up, you know, but I feel like it made a massive difference. It was out of action for 10 days, but I was by no means, you know, screaming for air and having a terrible time. But yeah, did that. So we're back out. We're going to Froome in Somerset tonight. Then off to Devon.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Devon after that. And then Sheffield after that. And back home for a few days. And then out and about doing other gigs. I should look at the diary. And then there's stuff that goes into October and November, stuff like that.
So. Yeah. Is it good being back with the boys? Is it good being back together? Or are you all traveling in separate buses now?
Oh, I wish we were traveling in separate buses. Got to be amazing. You know, having enough money to be bastards and not talk to each other and hate everybody.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming to do the gig. Don't look at me. I'm famous. But sadly, it's long gone are the days of having record company money and having a tour bus and beds. Although that was a lot worse for our health because the party never stopped, which was really dangerous.
Shit, of course. And you had to live up to certain, people expected certain things of Goldie Looking Chain.
They did, but I've always said this, and the other boys, one of the boys coined it up. He once referred to me as a pensioner with great stage presence because I've got very little time for getting battered. I'll get wrecked, but I reach a point where I'm like, I'm not doing this anymore. I've got a big love for just having a bit of cake and a cup of tea. So I'd be like, I'm going to go and watch a film in the bunk now. Whilst a lot of them would sit on the back lounge screaming their minds out till like 6 in the morning. You know, it's funny, you do meet people, they're like, what are you doing after the gig? I'm probably traveling to either the next gig or home. Do you want to come back to my house to a party? It's like, it doesn't really work like that. I'm 45 and I'm very tired now. So my knees hurt. My knees hurt. And thanks for the invitation, but I really just want my own bed and a hot drink. You know, so it's quite funny. And again, the show is a show. And it's been, I think it's been very hard, especially when we signed to a record deal. When we signed to Atlantic, they were like, so here we are, boys. This is, you're the band. We're going to do this, this, and this with you. But I don't think they took into account as much as they should have that it is a comedy show as well as it is music. You know, it's an act. And that's, it's an act that we love doing and it's brilliant. But when you come off stage, you're just doing whatever you're doing, cooking beans on toast or whatever, you know. But at one point, you know, I mean, I think people still do really think that that's the power of just how these things work. People are like, so you're not nuts in real life? No, it's just a show.
No.
It's just a show, you know. But it's fascinating how it works. You know, you put something in front of someone and you put enough effort in, they will. I mean, the only thing I learned from school was Mr. Allen saying, Hitler once said, the bigger the lie you tell, the more people believe it. And Hitler's obviously a twat, but he's right about that, you know.
Yeah. Well, this is it. We all believe that gold-looking chain was just going around. It was just absolute carnage wherever they went.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong.
These cartoon characters.
There has been a lot of carnage. There has been a lot of carnage, but there is a sense of morality built into that.
Yeah.
And, no one's ever killed anyone, so that's good.
No. Oh, well, good job. Good lads. Good lads.
We nearly lost a couple.
They nearly lost themselves, but they didn't kill anyone else. They're good boys.
Exactly.
You're doing good things. And I want to thank you, John, for taking the time to come and talk to me, because I'm a big fan. And this has genuinely been a highlight of my career. So you're fucking great, man.
Oh, bro. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Yeah. I always find it weird that people even sort of remember it and still know about it and like it. So yeah, I appreciate that. And
We love it.
If you want a bit more of a grasp into the world of Newport, there's a track on our latest album called Born and Raised, which is basically us reciting stories of our past and the gives you some good imagery of how Newport was like a shit New York, but in a good way.
Oh, listen, thank you so much, Eggsy. I really appreciate this, mate.
No problem. I've enjoyed it, and it's nice to hook up with Paul again. He's a legend. So yeah. Paul, I'm deeply in love with you, Paul. Before I go, Paul, I'm deeply in love with you, and Rich, I now also am deeply in love with you as well.
Same. I genuinely feel we've connected. It's beautiful.
Wonderful. Great times.
Insane in the membrane.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.